Welcome to installment 165 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five commandments continuing with the laws of the sacrifices. Prohibition 89, not to sacrifice anything outside of the temple. Positive commandment 39, to bring the tamid, the constant sacrifice in the temple. Positive commandment 29, to make a constant fire on the altar. And prohibition 81, not to extinguish this fire. And finally, positive commandment number 30, the commandment of Terumas HaDeshen, to remove the ashes from the altar. In yesterday's portion, we discussed the positive requirement of bringing sacrifices only in the temple in Jerusalem. And we also discussed the prohibition number 90 against slaughtering any sacrifice outside the temple. Prohibition 89 from today's portion is a closely related prohibition. This time not slaughtering the sacrifice outside the temple, but offering the sacrifice outside the temple. This offering is known in Hebrew as being ma'ile b'chutz, offering the sacrifice outside the temple. And the offering consists of burning the relevant parts of the offering, whether the whole offering, as in the case of a burnt offering, or the fats or other particular parts, if it is another type of sacrifice. This prohibition is actually not explicitly stated in the Chumash. Rather, it is derived by means of the Torah principle of Hekesh, a comparison, which will be best explained by taking the following example from this commandment. As the Rambam quotes the Sifri, which to paraphrase the Sifri's derivation of this commandment, there are both positive commandments and a negative prohibition which are stated in the Torah. The positive commandment states that all sacrifices must be brought only in the temple, and then the burnt offering is singled out that it also must be brought only in the temple, which seems to be an extraneous, an extra phrase. In the prohibitions, the only sacrifice which is mentioned is the same burnt offering. Therefore, you would think that the only offering which is prohibited outside the temple is a burnt offering. But the Sifri says that the burnt offering has been singled out both in the negative prohibition and the positive commandment. We therefore have a Hekesh. We see that the Ola is compared to all of the sacrifices. Just as the Ola, the burnt offering, has both a prohibition and a positive commandment associated with it, so too all other sacrifices, since they are explicitly mentioned in the Torah as having a positive obligation to be brought only in the temple, we learn by means of this Hekesh that just like as the Ola, which has a positive aspect, has also a negative aspect, so too also all other sacrifices where the positive aspect is explicitly stated have a negative aspect as well. Therefore, the prohibition is derived by means of a Hekesh from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 13, which states that one may not bring a burnt offering outside the temple. This burnt offering is thereafter compared to all other sacrifices. The punishment is also quoted from the Sifra and the Talmudic Tractate Pesachim, that when a person intentionally sacrifices outside the temple, he is punished by kores, or excision, a cutting off of the soul. As the Rambam quotes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verses 8 and 9, which state, "Benichras ha'ishahu me'amav," that the person is cut off. If he did so unintentionally, he must bring a chatas kavua, a sin offering, to atone for his mistake. This commandment is discussed in chapter 13 of the Talmudic Tractate Zvachim. On one occasion, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita mentioned the principle of kalkalose zeu takanose, that when things were destroyed for us, they somehow end up being fixed for us. That today, when we have no more any temple, we cannot bring any sacrifices whatsoever. However, this, which was a tragedy for us, has a corresponding favorable aspect. Even though we could not bring the sacrifices outside Jerusalem, the replacement for the sacrifices, which are our prayers, can be offered anywhere, by any person, at any time. In addition, when the person is in the middle of the Amidah, the silent prayer. It is not only as if they are bringing a sacrifice, but it is as if they are bringing the sacrifice of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, as if they themselves are entering into the Holy of Holies with the closest communion with God which is possible on this earth. In the days of the temple, only the high priest could reach it, and then only on the day of Yom Kippur. But today we can reach it three times a day by davening the Amidah, the silent prayer. With Positive Commandment 39, we begin a description of the daily sacrificial order in the temple. This commandment relates to the Korban Tamid, the continual, perpetual sacrifice, which consisted of two sheep, one of which was offered in the morning, and one of which was offered Bein Harbaim towards the evening, both of which were brought as burnt offerings. This commandment derives from the book of Numbers, chapter 28, verse 3, which states, Shnayim layeim eilo samit. Two of them must be offered as a perpetual sacrifice. This is regardless of the day, whether Shabbos or a weekday. There were always two sacrifices offered. And the morning sacrifice was, in general, the first sacrifice of the day, and the evening tamid was the last, concluding sacrifice of the day. The laws of this perpetual sacrifice are described in the tractate Tamid, which is devoted to this sacrifice, and the second chapter of the Talmudic tractate Yuma. The Olas Tamid was a burnt offering, completely consumed by the fire, and was an essential offering of among the communal offerings. This was offered on behalf of the entire Jewish people to atone for their sins. The morning offering for those which were done between the previous afternoon and the morning, and the afternoon for ones which were committed during the day. The story is told that at the times of the destruction of the Second Temple, that the Jews obtained these sheep when the city was under siege by lowering money over the city wall of Jerusalem to the Romans, whereupon the Romans would give them sheep, which would again be raised up over the wall. This continued until one evil old man told Titus, the head of the Roman army, that as long as the Jews offer this Tamid sacrifice, they will be unconquerable. When he was told this, Titus instructed them that the following day, instead of giving them sheep, he should give them a pig, a chazer. And they did that. And when this act took place, and the Jews saw that they would no longer be able to bring the Tamid by a kosher sheep, and instead were given a chazer, the entire city of Jerusalem physically shook. It trembled. 400 parsa by 400 parsa, like an earthquake. And shortly thereafter, the city of Jerusalem was conquered. Today we fulfill, in a way, the Korban Tamid, this perpetual sacrifice, by praying the morning service, the morning Amidah, to correspond for the morning sacrifice, and the afternoon service Mincha, to correspond to the afternoon sacrifice. The evening service Maariv corresponds to the burning of the leftover parts, which were not consumed by the fire during the day. The following two commandments deal with the Eish Tamid, with the perpetual fire which had to exist on the altar. Both of them derive from the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, verse 6, which states, Eish Tamid, a perpetual fire, Tukar al HaMizbeach, will be kept burning on the altar, Le Sichbe, and it shall not be extinguished. This statement, that it shall not be extinguished, is interpreted by the Sifra as indicating a biblical prohibition. Prohibition number 81. And if a person extinguishes even one coal from the altar, he incurs the punishment of lashes. The details of this prohibition are described in the 10th chapter of the Talmudic tractate Zvachim. The positive part of this commandment, positive commandment number 29, involves ensuring that the fire is eternally lasting on the altar. This, says the Rambam, includes the arrangement of the wood on the altar itself, as described in the Tractate Tamid and the second chapter of Yuma. The Rambam explains in his legal code that there were actually three fires lit every day on the altar. The large one was placed on the east side of the altar, upon which this Marocha Gedela, the sacrifices were burned. On the southwest corner of the altar, there was a smaller fire, from which the coals were taken for the burning of the daily incense. In addition, there was a third fire, which could be placed anywhere on the altar, which was specifically for the purpose of fulfilling this commandment of having a perpetual fire. The general laws relating to this fire are discussed in the fourth chapter of Yuma and the second chapter of Tamid. There were many miraculous occurrences associated with this fire. As the Rambam mentions, this fire actually came down from the heaven. There was an eternal fire on the altar, even if a fire was never brought by the Kohanim. There would always be a fire in any case. As our sages relate, that in the times of the first temple, the fire came down from heaven in the shape of a lion to consume the sacrifices. In the times of the second temple, it came down in the shape of a dog to correspond to the according decrease in the level of holiness. Even though there was a heavenly fire every day, however, we were still required to bring a fire mina hedyot, that the people themselves, the Kohanim, have to bring a fire. Even though they would have a supernatural fire, the commandment is upon us to make sure that there is a natural fire. Another miracle associated with this fire was that water could not extinguish this fire. As the previous Rebbe explained in his Maimer, Bosi Lagani, that this fire, which could not be extinguished, symbolizes the soul of a Jew, his godly soul, which no matter how much water is poured upon it, or this water corresponds to all of the problems and all of the confusion he is presented with by his Yetzer Hara, his evil inclination, and by the world in general, all the troubles which he encounters in his daily life, nevertheless, the soul stays alive and it still burns. And in addition, it not only stays alive, it eventually can consume the animal soul. That the animal, just as the physical animal was consumed on the altar, so too the person's animal soul is consumed and becomes included and part of this great burning fire of love for God, which is the attribute of the godly soul. And this fire is perpetual. It lasts forever. By the way, every single Jew, no matter what situation he may find himself in, it is leifichpe, it is never extinguished. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that even a Jew who is farthest away from the Torah has the ability even to give up his life, not to be separated from God himself. The final commandment of today's shiur is positive commandment number 30, the commandment of Trumas HaDeshen, the removal of the ashes from the altar. This commandment is described in the book of Leviticus chapter 6, and in particular verse 3, which states, V'hadim es HaDeshen, that he must remove the ashes. This was the first act done in the daily sacrificial order, that the Kohen would wake up early in the morning and immerse himself in a mikveh, wash his hands and feet, and enter the Beis HaMikdash with a fire pan and remove the consumed ashes, which were totally burnt out, from the altar. This one pan full of ashes would be placed on the east side of the altar and left there. After this, the remaining Kohanim would run with great speed to the top of the altar and pile the leftover ashes in one big tapuach, a big pile of ashes. When this pile became too large, the ashes were removed from the temple, outside to a holy place, a ritually clean place, as it states in the same chapter, verse 4. The details of this commandment are related in the tractates Tamid and Yuma. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.